Be blessed by the divine. Wonderful seeing you today for a live podcast session. I have with me Dr. Aishwarya. Aishwarya, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much, sir, for having me.
Would you like to quickly introduce yourself so that the audience knows who you are and where you come from and why you are here today on the show?
Certainly. Before everything, I would really like to thank you for having me at the show. It's a privilege to be a part, to be interviewing you, my Swami, my Guruji, my Master. I am really blessed to be guided by Swamiji and you and all the Masters of Sky Foundation. So I am Dr. Aishwarya. I'm basically from Delhi, born and raised in Delhi. I was initiated into Sky practice, that is simplified Kundalini yoga practice, in 2016. Then during my graduation, I got caught up with my studies and my profession. I could not somehow pursue properly, but after 4 years, it kept reminding me that I have to get back to my spiritual practice. That's when I got came back to Bangalore, where I settled. I got married and I got back to my practice. So it's been more than 2 years now that I have been practicing continuously, meditating and practicing and exercising and following Sky Foundation.
And you are also running a Sky Meditation Center in Jayanagar in Bangalore.
I have been successfully running the Sky Foundation at Jayanagar 6th block for 1.5 years. And we have students who come from various parts of India. We have students who have come from Mumbai, Nepal, Kolkata. Yes, we do have other centers also, but Jayanagar is one of the central center of Sky Foundation in Bangalore.
All right, let's get started. I understand that you have some questions to put me to test. Shoot, let's see if I pass those questions.
Okay. So I have an elaborate set of questions. I am excited to delve into the profound insight that you have to share with us. My first question would be, could you kindly take me to the moments that illuminated you into this spiritual journey?
That is very simple, actually. I was a smoker in my college and I was also occasionally drinking. And I was occasionally going to school, college, and attending classes, and rarely passing examination also. Okay? So other than bad habits, all other good habits that one would be expected to have during college education, I kind of rarely attended those duties of mine. I would go for cinema, for the matinee show, evening show, night show, same cinema, by the way. Okay? So I was quite wayward. I was quite indisciplined, so to say, in my life. And then one fine evening, my friends got hold of me and told me that you have 24 hours to change yourself. Look, you are a middle class person. Your father is a railway clerk. Mother is a school teacher. And the whole family depends on you for economic progress. So you are the only son in the family. You have two sisters. And naturally, you have to come up in life. Why are you like this? So they actually beat me up. They fed me some nice local country arak before that and then beat me up in the night. So next morning when I woke up, I realized that oh my God, I actually got beaten up the previous night and I need to do something about it. And these guys were quite serious. They well-meaning, well-intended guys, but quite sure that they needed to reform me in my life. So I was searching for a solution. My problem was lack of concentration. I found my junior meditating. I asked him, I need to improve my concentration powers. Help me to meditate. He put me on to the Swamiji's system, Yogiraj Sri Vedatri Maharishi's Simplified Kundalini Yoga system in Coimbatore, in a small place called as Ramnagar. There was a Ram temple in which the meditation centers were running. I immediately rushed there, knocked at the doors of the professor there, and told him, I need to learn today, not tomorrow. I have only 24 hours. You know, my friends have given me an ultimatum. I need to reform myself. I need to improve my concentration powers. Initiate me. I had no idea what that initiation was, but he touched me at the Muladhara Chakra, and within a few minutes I felt a gentle, beautiful pulsation of my life force in between my eyebrows. It was very nice. And within a day or two, I started seeing better results. I was able to concentrate a little better. And over a period of a week, I learned Shanti meditation, went back to the master again. Then I learned Dhuriya Sahasrara Crown Chakra meditation. And within about a month or so, I was able to significantly improve my concentration power. So the next examination, I passed all my arrears and came distinction in Fortran 4. Ever since, wow, my life has been in the upswing. So my spiritual journey began more as a solution to my set of problems within myself. So I was searching for a solution. I was struggling to find a solution. So then I'm glad I found Swamiji, Swamiji's methods. Then I met him and I attended multiple classes with him. Sat in silence introspection. I was able to improve my personality, control my anger, overcome my unnecessary desires, negative thinking got removed from me. I started overcoming my worries and stresses. This is a beautiful bliss that I was beginning to experience in my higher levels of meditation. In 1987, I became a master, and the rest, they say, is history.
Wonderful, wonderful, sir. Earlier, you were describing about how you felt the importance of joining something like this. There are a lot of people who require help and they deviate to medical attention. Do you think spirituality is an important part of everyday life?
I truly believe that every human being is divine and we are not born to suffer. You are not born to suffer. But problems are real, you see. There could be physical problems, there could be mental problems, there could be financial problems, social problems, professional problems, relationship problems, marriage problems. There could be any number of problems. Problems are real. How do you overcome these problems? You can only overcome these problems by using your resources. Or you have to borrow resources from somebody else to solve it. And one of the strongest and the most powerful resource we have is the mind. So if you are able to tap into that willpower, into your consciousness, into your intelligence, you can overcome any problem with creative solutions. Problems need to be overcome, but worries, stress, anger, these are imaginary problems. These are reactions to real life problems. Okay? For instance, my wife had cancer. Okay? It's a problem. We have to deal with it. And she could not really succeed in overcoming that in her life. Okay, that is a problem. But I can't be sitting and crying for life about it. I can't give up on life. I can't just say that I am totally dejected, depressed, disappointed in life. I have to accept this as nature's law. Some reason why she got cancer, I don't know why. There must be some scientific, there must be some karmic reason why she got this. It may be inherited from her forefathers. Many of her father's side, mother's side, many people had many kind of terminal diseases, including cancer. So maybe it's in the genes. Maybe it got activated. I wouldn't know. I would never be. I'm not a doctor. I'm an engineer. But the point is, how did I deal with it? Did I succumb to it? Did I get depressed, dejected in life? Or was I able to overcome the challenge of facing the loss of my wife, about, as you know, about 7-8 months ago, she passed away, and it was a loss, a big loss for me, because, you know, we have been married, we have known each other for about 34 years now, okay? 34 years of togetherness, and suddenly there is a vacuum, and loneliness could hit someone like me in a very big way, because, you know, she has been my only friend. I've not had many friends in my life. She's been my best friend, and you lose her and you don't know how to deal with it. And the only way you can learn to deal with it is to tap into the infinite potential that is within yourself. You have to keep in touch with the other end of your mind, which is the spiritual divine force. So only when you have an inner travel practice, you can tap into your inner potential. I'm giving you an example from my own life, and I'm sure every one of us who is listening to this, including you, Dr. Aishwarya, will have problems to face occasionally. Okay? May not be there every day, but definitely there is not a single person in the world without problems. But can you find a human being without worries? I exist. I do not have worries, but I have problems. So there's a difference between these two. Problems are real, worries are imaginary. And I'm able to live without worries because of my spiritual practice. And I believe you can too. I believe every human being can too. And you deserve it. You deserve to be peaceful. You deserve to be happy. You deserve to be confident. And you deserve to succeed in every sphere of your life. You are born to succeed. You are not born to suffer. And this realization will dawn on you only when you realize that the other end of your mind is the Almighty Force. You are divinity personified.
Wonderful, wonderful, sir. I could see so many challenges and how you embarked on each challenge. There are a lot of people who come and tell, do I have to leave my family and my responsibilities to get into a spiritual practice like this?
Well, that is easy to do. See, I can just give up everything and I can become a sannyasi, go live in an hermitage or go live in a forest. Two, three things are problems. One is, I become a liability for myself and the environment and the society. Who will feed me? Who will clothe me? Who will take care of me? Somebody has to feed me. No, I have to do some work. Okay, I can't just sit in the forest and live like an animal. That's not going to be possible. Okay, I can be a loafer. I can be a nomad. I can go, but still somebody has to feed me. I have to beg. I can't beg. I'm not a person who enjoys begging. I don't know about others, but I really don't want to do that. Okay, I want to earn the blessings of people. I want to solve problems for people. And with their blessings, I want to feed myself. Okay, so this is problem number one. You know, in just running away from family in the pursuit of or in search of spiritual freedom. Okay, so second is, it is easy for anybody to go live alone and then realize himself or sit and meditate, and then once you realize yourself, what do you do? You have to come back. What do you just live like a hermit, or you live like a nomad, you live like a vagabond, or what is the use of living like that? You have to be useful for somebody in life. Okay, for the first 21 years, 22 years, the whole society took care of me. My father, my mother, my society clothed me, sheltered me, educated me, took care of my health, fed me. So I have borrowed so much from the society. I have a duty to return what is due to the society. I can't Wonderful. Just run away from this, okay? So because of these three problems, we have to be doing what we are doing. Married, you don't get married, that's your personal choice. But you have to be in the society doing what you need to do, using your skills, solving the problems of people, removing the pain points of people, not causing any pain to anyone, receiving the blessings of them, and with that make a living. In the process of doing this, you must pursue spirituality and realize yourself. This is a phenomenal challenge. It's not easy. Because now you are in a worldly life. You are doing your duties by the society, yet you are working on your spiritual freedom. And yes, it is possible, and it is possible through the practice of the simplified Kundalini Yoga in our Vedatri Sky Yoga system. You do not need to become a sannyasi. You do not need to give up on your life. You do not need to give up your family life. You do not need to give up your material life. You can live with moderation and discipline, enjoy all of this, and still attain spiritual freedom.
Correct, rightly said, sir. Even Yogiraj Maharishi had a wonderful family life, right? Even you have experienced wonderful family life. Me too, you know, after practicing, I think I have a better bond with my in-laws, my husband. So I think it's very much possible to have a very good family life with spiritual practice. My next question is, now that the most expensive commodity is time for us, it's very difficult for working professionals in this time period, you know, especially youngsters like us, to integrate spiritual practice in our daily life. So how do we, do you have any advice for the listeners who are struggling to take or make time for spiritual practice, and how do we do that?
Priority. What is our priority? If your priority is to make money, which seems to be the biggest priority for all of us, your mind will tell you, you have to get up, check your mobile phone, check your email, check, talk to people in your office, check to everybody who is working with you, make sure that you are doing your work very well, make sure that your boss is happy, make sure your clients or patients are happy, make sure that you are consistently performing at a very high level, your throughput is very high, and everybody is satisfied, gratified with your professional work, and therefore you can earn your next salary. The problem with this is that somewhere in your mind, you forget that your throughput, your efficiency, your effectiveness comes from the strength of your mind, strength of your thought force. Your mind is your number one resource in life. That means your mind has to be trained to function at a lower frequency, preferably alpha frequency, between 8 and 13 cycles per second. And this is possible only when you are able to meditate on your own life force. Kundalini Shakti Agna meditation will help you to get into the alpha level. Sahasrara meditation will help you remain stable at the alpha level. Okay, then higher level meditation will take you even lower than the alpha to theta to delta frequencies. In those frequencies, you are tapping into the infinite potential of the universal energy field and the almighty divine force. With that, you can perform at your best and attract all the wealth and health and prosperity and success that you will ever dream of in your life. Therefore, even for material success, spiritual practices becomes a very high priority. You tell me, Aishwarya, days when you meditate, how is your work? Days when you don't meditate, how is your work?
The days that I meditate, I'm so clear, you know, my thought process is so streamlined. I know what to do, even if I am not prepared for it. I know what to do, what decisions to make. I am in a very senior position. I take care of few hospitals together and the general manager. Decisions have to be taken at the moment. Meditation has really helped me navigate the process. The days I am not able to meditate, I can feel the difference. It's difficult to handle. And there are circumstances where I feel helpless. I can't make decisions at all. I have felt the difference between meditating and non-meditating.
There you go. You answered your own question.
Sir, I would request you to tell what are the procedures of practicing in Kai Foundation, And how can students approach?
They can call you, I suppose, if they want to learn this simplified Kundalini yoga meditation. You are running a beautiful center, very small, beautiful, divine place you have. And we are conducting regular workshops in Jayanagar Center. We have centers in Electronic City. We have centers in Attibele. We have centers in Basveshwaranagar. We have center in Thalli Ashram in Huzur, near Anekal, just outskirts of Bangalore. We have a 25-acre campus, which is our own. Our trust is running it. You are part of the trust. You know, you have been to that place. So we conduct regular classes in all of these. Now, this is only our trust. Like us, there are over 300 trusts, meditation trusts worldwide, with much larger reach than what we have in Bangalore. We have it in Delhi, Mumbai, Kolkata, we have it in Orissa, we have it in Andhra Pradesh, we have it in Telangana, many places in Karnataka. Tamil Nadu is one of the largest, highly dense population of our meditation centers. We have it in Kerala. We have it outside of India, in Singapore, Malaysia, Sri Lanka. We have it in Australia, we have it in New Jersey, New York, we have it in California region, we have it in Chicago, we have it in Texas, we have it in Europe, many places in Europe, we have it in Germany, we have it in Netherlands, we have a beautiful center in UK, we also have centers in the Middle East, in Qatar, in Saudi Arabia we have centers in Dubai, Sharjah, Abu Dhabi. So we have it in many, many places across the world. So they can reach out to any of these centers, learn the foundation course, Awaken the Kundalini, where you will learn Agna, where you will learn the Kayakalpa Yoga, Simplified Physical Exercises, Shanti Meditation, and then move from level to level. We have level 1, level 2, level 3, and then we also teach you the Divine State Meditation, the Divine Brahmanyana course. And then you can choose to become a master in our system. It may take roughly around 6 months to 1 year for you to become a master. And I hope you will soon be becoming a master yourself, Aishwarya, right? You have an ambition of becoming that, hopefully this December.
Yes, sir. We have it in Alir. I would request my fellow meditators to please join us. We have various courses running so that we can quickly complete all the levels and do Brahma Gyana in December and have the coming year, greet the coming year with a lot of joy, happiness and ambition. Sir, I have one question. You have seen Yogiraj Maharishi in person. Can you share some experience with how was it with him? How was he?
Divine human being, a self-realized human being, very humble, very simple, practiced what he preached, constantly thinking about the world, constantly thinking about the others, never hurt a single human being in his entire life knowingly, always worked towards removing the pain of others. I remember every time I would go and meet him, I would have met him a few times, may not be million times, definitely not 1,000 times, maybe 100 times I would have met him, let us say. Okay. But every time I had gone to meet him in the Aliyar Temple of Consciousness, in his ashram, first question he will ask is, have you had food? Okay. If I have said no, Swamiji, I am not yet had, first he will say, go eat food and come. I will happily go eat. You know, I was very young on those days, right? So, I will not think much. Swamiji is saying, go eat and come. Then I will speak to him or do meditation or do something else. Whatever I came here, I set up the first computer in his ashram. This was some 30 years ago I'm talking about. The first internet connection, I set it up. First printer, I set it up. Many people helped. I was also one of them, but I was a person who set it up in his room. I used to call me Computer Murli in those days, right? So a few helps that he wanted, I was able to do, thankfully for him. But I never used to disturb him much. But, you know, much later, I've just given this one simple example to help you understand the characteristic of Swamiji. Swamiji's adopted daughter's daughter, granddaughter, Lata, you may have met her in Aliyar, okay? my divine sister, she is, and Shakti Kumar Vel is a professor in RDR, and my divine brother, he is. Beautiful family, I love them. Shakti and Lata much later told me, Anna, do you know, each time you came to meet Swamiji, he would ask you to go eat, but each time he paid for your meal. Okay. It is his ashram. I go there, he feeds me, and he pays from his Gurudakshana. People will pay him Gurudakshana, no? That money he will donate it on my behalf for my food to the ashram. And he never told me about it. I had tears when I heard about it from Lata and Shakti. I said, what a man, what a man. How can a man be like this? Somebody one day went and asked him, Swamiji, why don't we put a website? You know what he said? He normally doesn't speak for long, doesn't speak immediately. He will think. That day he thought. For 4 or 5 minutes he thought, didn't speak at all. Everybody was quiet. Then he is asking, all right, you put a website. Now, by which time he's already learned what a website is. He knows what internet is. So he is asking all of us. He's saying, supposing you put a website and somebody in Netherlands sees it and instantly wants, gets a desire to want to awaken the Kundalini, will you go to Netherlands to teach him? We were so perplexed by this question. He said, why do you want to tempt people? Do not tempt them. Okay? Let them search and find out and come. That is when we told them, Swamiji, if they have watched some YouTube channel or if they have seen something, if they have practiced, okay, this kind of wrong kind of meditation, Kundalini got accidentally awakened. And if we indeed have a meditation center nearby, it will save the life of many people to learn Shanti meditation. That time only he agreed. He said, okay, there seems to be some benefit. Go ahead and start. So his ability to think through into the future, connecting the past, present and future and making sure that not even a single human being should get hurt is unmatched. I've never seen this character in anybody I have met in my life. Swamiji is Swamiji. We are all, we call ourselves as teachers, but we call ourselves as professors also. But there's only one guru. Swamiji is the guru. We are teachers. He is a guru. The difference between guru and teacher, no? We have learnt what he has told us and we are realizing after he has told us. But he is a realized soul himself. He taught after realization. We are teaching while we are realizing. There is a huge difference between the two. Oh, that's Swamiji to you.
Wonderful. I would like to share my experience here, sir. After meditation for few months, I could feel this immense feeling of love, and there is something very beautiful that is protecting me, and I always felt that there is some energy that is guiding me in the right path where I am safe and secure. This is my experience. It might be different to others. But the immense satisfaction that I have when I meditate, when I think about just the thought of Swamiji itself is very comforting.
Very divine. See, the thing is, mind has no shape, form, color. It acquires the characteristics of the thing that it often sees or thinks about. You are thinking about Swamiji and your mind has personified Swamiji based on the experiences of others, the stories that you have heard, the books that you have read, and the practices of his that you are following. You have gotten benefited in certain waves. So you have associated certain beliefs to Swamiji's pictures or Swamiji's face or image or his words or his voice or his books. So the more you think about it, you acquire the same characteristics in you. You have associated divinity to Swamiji, very correctly so. Therefore, each time we meditate, each time we are working on ourselves, feeling our life force pulsation, we are actually connecting to Swamiji's life force, Swamiji's soul, Swamiji's magnetic energy. a part of our life force is His, because we are connecting to His. Therefore, we truly become divine as we meditate very regularly. It's not a surprise. We all have the same experiences as you are.
That's a wonderful thing, sir. I feel that I'm in the right path.
You truly are.
Also,
see, the beauty about our system is you do not have to believe in something. You don't need to get blinded by anything. You don't even have to have blind faith on what Swamiji is saying. Swamiji himself is said, don't believe what I'm saying. Think for yourself and come to your own conclusion. He never encouraged anybody to fall on his feet at all. That's a beautiful thing. Which guru does that? Every guru says that I am God. You have to fall at my feet. You are all servants to me. That is the attitude of most of these so-called gurus, self-proclaimed gurus. But Swamiji was never like that. He treated all of us as his equal. And he taught us to see all of us as equal. Every life form is divine force. And that realization is profound. It elevates us. It transcends to a divine state. So we neither have superiority complex nor we have inferiority complex. There is equanimity that develops in us.
Sir, also Sky has a beautiful practice of blessing. I would want you to talk about it and how it can create wonderful.
I would like you to speak about it. You tell me how blessings have been benefiting. So we close our eyes, we think of a person when we say, be blessed by the divine. So we keep doing this. Regularly we bless people. How has this transformed your life? You tell me.
Personally, whenever I think about, even for my hospital, I bless my hospital. I bless that everyone who comes seeking treatment gets cured. I have not only helped patients, but I have helped my staff. I have taught them to bless. The moment they touch the patient is comforted. That's what they're looking in a hospital, because they're so anxious when they come inside. So the smile on your face when you bless, it's a gratitude that you have towards the universe and the people around you. That itself, it creates an aura. And more we bless, it amplifies our aura. And people come and seek comfort in that shade of your aura. That's how blessing is. So I feel...
very powerful. It attracts, it gives you all the powers of attraction. It gives you all the success that you need. Your enemies transform themselves into your friends. Okay, your relationships get strengthened, healing power increases with the power of blessing. Blessing is a sound. Sound is a wave. Wave travels, clashes, reflects, refracts, penetrates, interacts, and it changes the characteristics of you, changes the characteristic of the person whom you are blessing. We are all connected by the same divine force as an ocean connecting all our genetic centers. Characterizations are different. Composition is the same. I am very happy that you are using it in your hospital. God bless you.
Sir, also one important thing which is very prevalent in our society is something called anxiety and depression. Very commonly used also. I have taught people who are under depression to switch their energies within second just by blessing.
Excellent. It certainly helps. It certainly helps. So look, anxiety and depression are two ends of the same spectrum. When there is a problem, you attempt to overcome that problem. If you know you are not able to overcome the problem, one of the two extremes happen. Either you become very anxious of it, therefore you get agitated, blood pressure increases, pulsation increases, you know, heart rate increases, etc., etc. happens. Or you go into the other extreme where you find absolutely no hope of overcoming the problems. You become highly depressed, which is the extreme end, other extreme end of anxiety. Okay, in both cases, blessings certainly help.
Wonderful, wonderful. There are three concepts that we understand. One is physical, mental, and spiritual. Can they be combined? And does Sky help it?
Spiritual is recognition that you are a soul, that you are a spirit. That is possible only by awakening the Kundalini, focusing your mind on your own pulsation, life force, without any tantra, yantra, mantra. The mental plane is recognition that cognition, experience, discrimination powers that we have in order to live in this planet, choose the right actions, get rid of wrong actions, and do our duty and follow the path of karma yoga is essentially using this power of this mind. This is possible to succeed only when your mind goes to lower subtle frequencies of alpha, theta, delta. That is possible only through Kundalini meditation. No other system will help you permanently stay at the lower frequency. Otherwise, anxiety, worries, anger, all of this will take you to higher frequency, which leads to dissipation of biomagnetic energy and therefore loss of mental power, loss of willpower. Okay. Now, where is the soul and the mind functioning in your body? So, we have to maintain a harmonious relationship between the soul, the mind and the body. The mind has to be functioning smoothly in the body. If the body has aches and pains, then the mind will function less. You can't function at your best with a headache, for instance, or with a body ache of some other kind, or with some illnesses and with some aches and pains and suffering. You really cannot function at your best. So your body has to be prepared. Body therefore has to be treated like a temple. The soul is the divine force. The mind is the tool that will help us to use, function within the body, use the body, use the bodily functions to meditate on the life force and to attain freedom in every sphere. Relationship freedom, social freedom, financial freedom, physical freedom, okay, mental freedom, and finally the spiritual freedom. Only when you reach that mukti, moksha, which means what? Sama adi, realization that I am a divine force, that you are a divine force. The other end of your mind is the almighty force. That realization comes, the soul is set free. It has reached its destination. It has recognized where it has come from. In that state, only bliss remains. Everything else automatically gets achieved.
Wonderful, wonderful, extremely wonderful, sir. Are there any practices that can help us physically become better and get rid of, you know, nowadays it's very common to just go out in a pub and have a drink and spend time with friends. But how do we maintain our physical state?
First and foremost, it begins with your focus on the purpose of life. Why have you born? What are you born? What are you? Who are you? Where have you come from? Okay, who is God? What is nature? Why there is suffering? Why there is pain? Why there are difficulties? How can you succeed in life? Start with those questions. These are real questions. These are practical questions. You need to find answers. And these are the only questions with which you are born. Who am I? Is the only genuine desire with which you are born. But in the process of living and making a living, we have forgotten that question and all other questions have come into my mind. Oh, where can I have fun? Where is the nearest pub? Where is the nearest club? Where can I go to a movie? When is the next movie coming? Can I go with my friends? Okay, can I buy a new gadget? Can I buy a new bike? Can I travel in the new bike? Where can I go? Can I do Himalayan tour? Can I do some other thing? Okay, can I buy a television? So these are all illusions. Maya that we are caught into, because these have very limited scope for happiness. You buy a new iPhone, this year it is iPhone 14 or so, next year it is going to be iPhone 15. So when iPhone 15 comes, what is going to happen to your happiness? Gone out of the window. You will feel very sad. Right? So where is the permanent happiness? You ask yourself that question. When you ask this question, you yourself will come to a conclusion that the other end of your mind is bliss. So I have to travel inward. You can't search for permanent happiness outside of you. It's not there in the pub. It is not there in a temple. It is not there in an ashram. It is not there with your spouse. It is not there with your child. It is not there in your career. Everything has got a limited potential of happiness. Because there's a threshold. You cross the threshold, happiness becomes sadness or pain. Alright? Every happiness, you think about it, every happiness that you have experienced so far in your life has a threshold limit beyond which the same happiness becomes sadness or same happiness becomes painful.
Right.
Okay. How many gulab jamuns you can eat? 3, 4, 5, pleasure. 6, 7, 10, bitter. Music, you may like Ilaraja music, U.R. Rahman music. How long can you go on listening to music? Half an hour, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours? But after that, it is painful for you. You can't go on eating ice creams. Yeah, every experience, every sensual pleasures, sensory pleasure that we indulge in has a threshold limit within which it is enjoyable. Cross the limit, it is painful. There's really no happiness in any of these sensory. You yourself will come to the conclusion. I don't have to teach you this at all. You let yourself ask this one single question. Where can I find permanent happiness? You will come to the same conclusion that I have arrived at. It is in my mind. Other end of my mind is happiness. Outside of me, there is no happiness. Happiness is inside me. Once you reach that state of bliss, Purnam, Adi, Anadi, Andam, God, Father, Divine Father, Allah, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, name whatever you want to name. When you realize that the other end of your mind is Almighty Consciousness, Aham Brahmasmi, bliss will remain, not happiness, bliss will remain, ecstasy will remain in your mind. Then everything else will go away. You will realize, hey, useless. You have to go to pub half an hour. I will enjoy 1 hour. Enjoy. Next morning, I will wake up with hangover. You go to pub, you get a high. Okay? How long will that high stand for you? Half an hour, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours? Okay? Then it will go away. You will go reverse of that high. You will become depressed in the other end. If you don't get that drug again and again, you will become very depressed. Whereas, if you get into meditation, you will reach 10 times, 100 times, a million times higher happiness, ecstatic level without any drug.
I am 100% with you on this. I would like to add on to our conversation today that how well structured our courses are. We have various level which is taught at their frequency of understanding. We have various introspection levels. I think whatever you have told summarizes in these three levels. We have introspection level 1, level 2, and level 3, where we talk about, we get deeper into questioning ourselves of who I am. Actually, it's not just a question. So I would really motivate and suggest our listeners to take a different route of realizing of how beautiful you are in this world. And not only you can help others also.
Sure, and I will provide in the description of this video for those who are watching online to join a WhatsApp group where Aishwarya is there, I am there. You can directly connect with us, and we keep announcing our courses in that WhatsApp group, the Sky Yoga Bangalore group. And it's in WhatsApp, so today everybody is on WhatsApp. If you are on WhatsApp, you can easily connect with us and you can reach out to us one-on-one, and we'll be happy to guide you. Even if you're not in Bangalore, we'll put you on to the other masters and professors worldwide. We have over 2,500 centers run by people like Dr. Aishwarya, wonderful soul like her. There are millions of other souls who are helping us world over. You can reach out to one of them. We have over 15,000 masters like me, and they're all willing to help you. And none of us, in my understanding, none of us are in it commercially. And Aishwarya running a center, not even one paisa, one rupee she takes home from this. In fact, she spends money out of her pocket. and she doesn't even charge rent for the place that she is giving us. I don't take any money. Like me, thousands of masters are working volunteers. Of course, there are other expenses like food expenses, book and electricity and things like that. There's a very small fee that is charged for our centers for running the upkeep and the maintenance of the center in the workshop. So feel free to reach out to us and we will be happy to guide you in that workshop. That's right. And we keep doing this, you know, every month we have a month or two, we have the foundation course and then we have other level 1, level 2, level 3 in the workshop. Then we will all go to RDR Temple of Consciousness for doing the Brahmanyana course and the Master's course. Thank you very much, Aishwarya. This has been a wonderful conversation. Thank you very much, all of you, for joining this wonderful session. And I hope to see you all in our next workshop. And Aishwarya, do you want to say anything?
So I would like to conclude by saying one important thing, which I personally believe in, is there is no bigger power than love. You can conquer the world by love.
Thank you very much for being there. Thank you for taking this initiative to be on the show. We hope to repeat this show future. Once you become a master, perhaps you can come back on the show and tell us what it is to become a master and initiate the Kundalini of others. So thank you very much for being there. Thank you all for joining this wonderful show. And we hope to see you soon in our next workshop. Till then, may the Almighty Force and our Guru shower you all with good health, long life, peace, prosperity, fame and wisdom. Be blessed by the Divine. Vaazhga Valamudan.